All right, everyone. I can't believe you're like still here. I am going to attempt to make this message as short as I possibly can. Because we have some other things planned, so I just want to just share a couple more thoughts. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to go through a scripture together, and I'm going to just ask you to help me see Jesus. Is that okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and kindness. We thank you, Lord, for all you have been sharing with us through all the speakers. Lord, I just want to ask that you would continue, Lord, to just take our minds deeper. Lord, may we catch a glimpse of you that, like John, we might fall at your feet when we read your word because of the glory coming from that word. Speak to us, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I believe that every time we open scripture, we should be looking for Jesus. And, you know, kind of sounds like a nice... Oh, that's something nice to say, but we can't. Some people think we can't really do that. And I believe that Jesus really is at the center of every page in this book. And so one of the things I just want to encourage you on is to wear those gospel glasses, to try to look deeper into the scripture, to ask the Lord to show you his beautiful patterns. Sometimes these patterns show up in the most unlikeliest places. If you're wearing those glasses, you might, for example, read the story of Samson. You know the Bible tells us that Jesus is the second Adam. Did you know that? And that word Adam is simply translated as man. Christ is the second man. And when we begin to look at that, Christ really is the second man. He is a second Adam. We find similarities between Christ and Adam. Just like Christ or Adam gave his life for his wife, so the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ gave himself. But you see, the second Adam did it the right way. The first Adam did it the wrong way. He is a second Abel who was slain by his brothers. He is the second Cain. Listen. Where Cain failed, Jesus overcame. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, God the Father, his Father comes to him and says, you know, Jesus is struggling. Father, what am I going to do? Let this cup pass from me. And where Cain failed, when God came to him in the garden, Jesus picks up where Cain failed and shows Cain, this is what you should have done. Now, if you think that's bad, wait till you hear this one. Jesus is the second you. Yeah. You are wicked, corrupt, just like Cain was. But Jesus says, I propose to be the second you. If you let me, I will come in and live my life in you and through you. So please don't get that statement, he said Jesus was the second Cain. No. Understand what I'm saying. He overcame where Cain failed. Jesus, you look at the story of Samson. If you're wearing your gospel glasses, you will immediately notice that Samson was betrayed by a woman that he loved. The Bible says he was bound. His eyes, his sight taken from him. Just as Jesus was betrayed by a woman that he loved. Blindfolded, spat upon, beaten. And then the Bible tells us that Samson is led between two pillars. And he puts his hands upon those pillars, and the Bible says he bowed his head. And with all his might, pushed. And when he pushed, guess what? There was a great earthquake. And the temple of Dagon came down. The Bible says he slew more in his death. Than when he was alive. Jesus. Between two thieves. Bows his head. Father. Into thy hands. I commit my spirit. He dies, and there is a great earthquake. And the temple. You know the word Calvary means cranium. So the temple of the dragon. Broke apart. Just like Genesis 3:15 said, Jesus was to bruise the temple. Is that okay? The head of the dragon. And Jesus saved more in his death than when he was alive. Put on those gospel glasses, my friend. You will begin to see things sometimes in the most unlikeliest places. He is a second Joseph sold into captivity by his brothers, thrown into a pit. The Bible tells us that Joseph was taken to Egypt. And sometime later, exalted to the second place. And the very ones who betrayed him had to come to his feet to find mercy in the time of need. Jesus. Betrayed by humanity, ascends to the right hand of the Father, and the very ones who betray him in time of famine come to him and say, Lord, please, please. And how merciful he is. It's almost as though he weeps, just like Joseph wept when we come to him. Look for Jesus. Look for Jesus. He is the second David who is watching his father's sheep when a lion and a bear rise up and David slays the lion and the bear. And then sometime later, his father sends him to look for his brethren who happen to be in the middle of a fight with a giant named Goliath. What are you doing here, David? We don't need you. And yet David is the only one that is bold enough to challenge the giant. Slays the giant by giving him a wound to the head. Jesus was in heaven watching his father's sheep when a dragon rose up. And Jesus boot the devil out of heaven. Sometime later, he is sent by his father to check on his brothers who are in a battle with the very enemy of souls. What are you doing here, Jesus? We don't need you. And despite that, Jesus is the only one bold enough to meet the dragon face to face. Gives him a wound to the temple. If we would but open our eyes, we would see who? Jesus. Sometimes in the most unlikeliest places. You'll remember the story of Jacob, Esau, Isaac, and Rebecca. Four people who had a very strange relationship. Rebecca is the mother, Isaac the father. Esau is the firstborn. And Jacob, his name means supplanter. And in this story, it is quite amazing because the word Rebecca, these people, they have a messed up relationship. Jacob favors one of his sons. I'm sorry, Isaac favors one of his sons. Rebecca favors the other. The father is overheard speaking to his firstborn, saying, "The blessing is for you." Rebecca, whose name means a quarrel appeased or comforted, overhears the father speaking to the son. The firstborn goes out, and Rebecca says to Jacob, supplanter, "I want you to have the blessing. But in order for you to have the blessing, I'm going to have to dress you up as the firstborn." Jacob is kind of terrified. "Dress me up as a firstborn? I don't want to go before the father. What if he finds out who I am? I can't cook like Esau. I don't have skin like him. I don't smell like he does. He's always out in the field." Rebecca says, "Don't worry. You obey my voice, and I will make it so that you can stand before the Father to receive the blessing." And so she dresses him up like the firstborn. How many of you, as you're standing before our Heavenly Father, would like to be dressed as the firstborn? Just imagine the terror as Jacob steps before, Jacob steps before Isaac. And he says, I'm here. Who's here? Esau, your firstborn. Now remember, the father's eyes were what? Dimmed. Beloved, I believe that God is merciful. I believe that if God were to truly gaze upon us in our deformity, none of us would be saved. But it's as though the father dims his eyes. You look like Jesus. Come close, Esau. I don't know if that's really you. Let me feel your skin. If I was Jacob, I probably would have passed out. Beloved, do you realize that in the investigative judgment, when we stand before the Father claiming to have Christ in us, that the Father's like, come close. Let me see if you have the feel of Jesus. Don't get me, this story in its basic sense, there are people deceiving one another. There are people who are doing cunning things. But even in the most unlikeliest places, you can find traces of the love of God. Well, you feel like Jesus. But I still am not sure. Come closer. Let me smell you. What kind of smell was he looking for? A smell of somebody out in the fields. You don't smell like you've been out. Pray God does not say you don't smell like you've been out in the fields. Beloved, even in the most unlikeliest places, we can find glimpses of the love of God. Can you imagine Jesus says to his father, Father, I'm going to clothe them with my righteousness. And the father says, and I will dim my eyes. So when he, even though the voice sounds like Michael, like Ivor, like Taj, you can go down the list. Put your name there. Even though the voice sounds like our own, the feel, the smell, the touch is Jesus. And he says, I give you the blessings of the firstborn. Beloved, if we would only open our eyes, we would see the magnificent, beautiful, glorious designs of the divine designer. I want to share one more story with you. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of John, chapter 2. John chapter 2, please. Are your glasses on? John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Were your glasses on? Did you see anything? Jesus has just come out of the wilderness. He had been tempted how many times? 3 times. It was what day? The third day. It was a wedding that he was now attending. The mother of Jesus is there. There was a party. The people were thirsty. Jesus said, woman, mine hour is not yet come. What did he mean by that? Woman, mine hour is not yet come. What was his hour? Hold your thought. There are 6 water pots for purification. Jesus says, draw out. The servants knew the source of the wine. Jesus had saved the best for last. And this was the beginning of miracles. Do you see Jesus? He has just come out of the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 times he has prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. 3 times his soul is brought to the brink of despair. Now he is on his way to a wedding. There is a party, a celebration. The Jews are rejoicing. Jesus is going to his own wedding. The people there John 13. If you read there in John 13, you will find that just before Jesus departs for his wedding, there is a purification for his disciples. Their feet are being washed. The mother of Jesus is at the wedding. Blood flows from 6 wounds on the Savior. Why? The people are thirsty. How kind of Jesus. How kind of Jesus to provide good wine for the people who are celebrating his death. Isn't Jesus beautiful? He saves the best miracle for last. The giving of his blood for a world that has rejected him. A world celebrating his death. The servants know the source of this good wine. The others did not. Jesus says, draw. Draw out now and take this wine. You see, beloved, the world is drinking all kinds of disgusting stuff. They're drinking all kinds of fermented wines. But Jesus says, I save the best for last. Do you realize that you're a servant of Christ? He calls you to draw. Take that wine that represents the blood of my covenant. Take it to a world that is drinking all kinds of lies, getting drunk on all kinds of deceptions, so that when they taste it, they will say, truly, God, you saved the best for last. I want to make a very special appeal tonight. This is Army Bible Camp. I take it that most of you have come here because you've wanted to be armed with the Word of God. But maybe some of you are dragged here. Maybe some of you came thinking and feeling, you know, man, this is just, I wish I was somewhere else. But during your time here, you have felt the Spirit of God saying, my son, my daughter, I love you. I have something greater for you. I want you to shine. I want you to be a star. I want you to take this wine to the world. You have been celebrating the fact that Jesus is not the center of your life. Yes, you're praising, you're happy, you're like, yes, yes, yes. And yet now you suddenly realize, I have been celebrating, partying for a wrong reason. I've been proud that Jesus isn't the center of my life. And now here he is, the very one that I rejected, here he is offering me his blood right now. He has saved the best for right now. And you want to say, Lord, that's me. I want your blood. I want to see you in everything that I say and do. I want you to be the center of my life. I'm going to ask if there is one person here that needs to make that commitment. Would you stand? Amen. You know, especially my young people, God has something special for you. Something so powerful, so mighty, that if you would just let him into your life, you will never regret it. Why wait? Why put it off? Why not say, Jesus, I'm going to give my life to you now? You know what the devil says? The devil says, you're just a young person. Go ahead and live your life. And then, tomorrow is not guaranteed. I just have to speak the truth. Now is the time to shine for Jesus. Can I tell you something? There is someone or someones, plural, sitting down right now. The devil's a scientist. The devil is quite familiar with the laws of thermodynamics. And the first law of thermodynamics says that energy or heat is not lost, it is only converted. And there's someone who he's sitting down and he's looking at you and he's saying, man, if this brother gets up or this sister gets up, the same energy with which they served me in the sign of darkness will be the same energy and perhaps even greater that they will serve God in the sight of light. Angels, whatever happens, keep that person seated. Please, don't listen to the voice of the enemy. He is afraid for you to stand because he knows what God's desire is for you. Stand. Now is the time to make a stand. You know, young people, is anyone under 150 years old? Some of you have been perhaps serving the enemy for a long time. Whoever you are, praise God for those of you who are standing. Whoever you are, you're still seated and you are struggling. Allow the Spirit of God to just lift you up out of the... Can I tell you a story? My Bible worker was telling me this story, that when he first made his decision to follow Christ, he was sitting down in his chair. And when the minister made the appeal, he said he wanted to get up and he felt something stop his legs from moving. And he was so terrified that he sat there and did not move. He went home and he was angry. And he said, next week, if the minister makes a call, I'm going to act like I'm not paying attention. And then I am going to run down to the park. The next week came. The minister made the appeal. He acted like he wasn't paying attention. You know, to trick the devil. And as soon as the minister made the appeal, he jumped up out of his seat and ran down the aisle, and people in the church were looking at him like, and he ran and sat down in front and was, and people looked like, what is the matter with this guy? And he was so relieved that he had made it to the front. Beloved, don't let the enemy stop you. Now is the time to stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're coming to the close of such a wonderful time of seeing you. Lord, we were all a part of that party once. And yet, Lord, you provided us with something better than this world could ever offer. Lord, we are blown away by your love for us. Who would provide anything for their enemies? And yet you provided for us. Cover us, Lord, in your righteousness, that as we stand before the Father, only you will be seen. Thank you, Lord, that you stood between two pillars, bowed your head, and gave up the ghost, that we might have life. Thank you for coming to this earth. From watching your Father's sheep in heaven to checking on your brothers here on earth. Break our hearts, Lord. As Calvary was broken, so may our minds. Our fallow hearts be broken up so that you can dwell within us. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us. And Lord, I pray for those who have stood, who have made a decision tonight. Father, grant them thermal equilibrium, that they might be on fire with you. Lord, protect this army. And may we ever be armed with your word, with your love, with your grace, and with your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. You may be seated.